The Bristol Bay Fisheries Report is brought to you by the Bristol Bay Regional Seafood Development Association, ensuring long-term growth in the world's greatest salmon fishery through investments in Bristol Bay science, infrastructure, marketing, and quality. The Bristol Bay RSDA, we're on board with you.
This is the Bristol Bay Fisheries Report. I'm Molly Dishner. First, let's look at the marine weather forecast. There's wind on the way. For Bristol Bay, there's a small craft advisory tonight with variable wind at 10 knots and seas at 2 feet. Tomorrow, east wind at 20 knots, seas at 3 feet. Tomorrow night, that's supposed to increase to 30 knots and seas at 5 feet. And Thursday, another day of wind and high seas. From Port Hyden to Cape Sarachef, there's also a small craft advisory Wednesday and Wednesday night. Tonight, variable wind at 10 knots, becoming east 15 knots after midnight, seas at 3 feet, and patchy fog. Tomorrow, wind at 25 knots, that's an east wind, seas at 4 feet, patchy fog. Tomorrow night, another east wind at 25 knots, seas at 5 feet, and rain. Thursday, southeast wind at 20 knots, seas at 4 feet. Again, wind, stormy weather on the way for Bristol Bay and Port Hyden to Cape Sarachef. Coming up tonight, University of Washington researcher Curry Cunningham offers some analysis of the run so far this year, and we hear from managers and fishermen about what they're seeing around the bay. But first, let's run through the numbers. Bay-wide, yesterday's catch was 1.8 million sockeye, bringing the season total to almost 23 million. The total run is estimated at about 33.7 million sockeye. The Igigik catch yesterday was 288,000, season total of about 6 million. Naknak Kwidjak fishermen, 1.1 million fish yesterday, season total 8.9 million. And Ugashik catch, 291,000, season total 3.5 million. In the Nushagak district, 206,000 sockeye landed yesterday, season total 4.1 million. And Togiak, 10,000 fish yesterday, season total 82,000. Now we'll look at the escapement counts. For the Igigik, 51,000 up the river, season total 1.3 million. Ugashik, 29,000, season total about 732,000. Kwidjak River, 571,000, season total of about 4 million. And Naknak, 110,000, season total about 1.3 million. Yesterday's king count at the Nushagak sonar was 1,400 fish, season total almost 94,000. Sockeye there, 35,000, season total 624,000. At the Wood River Tower yesterday, 122,000 sockeye, season total about 1.3 million, and another 33,000 sockeye counted by 6 a.m. today. At the Agushik, 7,000 sockeye counted yesterday, season total 232,000, and at Togiak, 2,000 fish counted this morning, season total about 9,000 so far. Looking at sockeye per delivery yesterday, Ugashik led 1,281, Naknak Kwidjak 877, Igigik 617, Nushagak 504, and Togiak 87. As for the boat count, Igigik 296 permits on 245 boats. Naknak Kwidjak, 870 permits, 722 boats. Nushagak, 210 permits, 183 boats. Ugashik, 236 permits, 187 boats. And Togiak, 52 permits, 52 boats. I think that's it. If you have fish news, tips, ideas, or feedback, send it to me at fish@kdlg.org or call us here at the station anytime.
Bristol Bay Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by Crawley, fueling Alaska for more than 60 years with a full range of residential, commercial, aviation, and marine fuel products, and supporting local fisheries offshore with Bristol Bay Floater Fueling Services. More information at CrawleyFuels.com.
Lots of adjectives to describe the run this year. Strange, weird, confusing. Today I talked to University of Washington researcher Curry Cunningham, who says it's yet another unique year in Bristol Bay. Do you have a sense of when and how the last few days of Port Muller catches will show up in district?
We have several indications. As you're probably aware, catches between basically the 7th and the 9th remained fairly strong out at Port Moeller, which suggests that we should see sustained catches over the next few days. In addition, the genetic samples collected out there between July 7th and 8th showed a higher proportion of both the Igigig and Woodstocks. Now, this was paired with this sort of secondary push of fish to the Igigig and Nooshigak districts, and more recently Wood River escapements, which probably represent a combination of both those higher Port Moeller index values during that period, as well as the higher representation of those two stocks.
We've had a couple days of 2+ million catches baywide lately. Is this later than usual? Does it indicate that the whole run is late, or what can you say about timing right now?
Well, certainly this large increase in catch and escapement beginning on July 8th that led to the last 6 days of greater than 2.5 million sockeye has rapidly propelled us back into the range of cumulative catch and escapement that we would expect for a run that's in the range of 35 to 45 million fish. With that being said, as you look at run timing on a district-by-district level, we see that some districts appear to be a bit earlier, particularly Ugashik appears on the earlier side, while the other districts do appear to be on the later side. I'm guessing at the end of the season, although it's a little difficult to tell now, we're probably going to see Bristol Bay as a whole being one of the later runs on record for 2015.
Okay, that makes sense. Looking back historically a little, can you put the size so far and the timing so far into a historical context for us?
Well, certainly when we compare where we would expect to be at this point in the season with what we've observed in terms of cumulative catch and escapement thus far, for the Nooshigak, Igigik, and Naknek-Quijack districts in particular, we do see that we're substantially later than where we would expect to be at this point in the season. This does tend to shift bay-wide, or our perception of bay-wide run timing, a bit later. And I would imagine this is going to end up being one of the later runs on record. I think the most interesting thing about this year is not just the run timing, but the fact that we have seen such a sharp increase into 2.5 million fish days this late in the season. Usually for Bristol Bay as a whole, depending on how you look at travel time between the districts and the towers, you expect a sort of a peak or a mean date for Bristol Bay as a whole to be somewhere in the range of July 4th to July 6th. This year, we're going to be substantially later than that.
Okay, that is interesting. Do you have any ideas as to why the run has played out the way it has so far?
That's a very interesting question. Over the years, we've put a lot of effort into trying to come up with ways to better predict run timing before the beginning of the season. Obviously, all of the indices we use to estimate run size in season are very sensitive to deviations from what could be considered average run timing. We've looked at things like sea surface temperature, nearshore conditions, and while there's some correlations there, none of them have proven effective enough to allow us to say whether the run is going to be 1 or 2 days earlier, 1 or 2 days late, prior to the beginning of the season.
Do you, or FRI, I guess, have a new estimate of what the total run is going to end up being at the end of the season?
Certainly when we look at catch and escapement, or predictions based on catch and escapement in general, with the rapid increase in over the last 6 days, we're much more likely to see a run in the range of 40 million fish than we are to see a run in the low 30s. With that being said, while it's possible we're still going to see something up near the preseason forecast, I think it's far more likely that we're going to arrive somewhere near 40 million.
All right. And then finally, you've been watching the run all season. How would you sum it up?
Every year is different in Bristol Bay. Every year is somewhat unique. The run is either larger or smaller than you expect. It's earlier or later. It's more compressed or has a more protracted arrival distribution. This year in particular, the combination of a large preseason forecast paired with substantially later arrivals and this large push of fish certainly makes it a unique year in my mind.
Sounds good. Thank you so much, Curry.
Yeah, no problem.
You're listening to the Bristol Bay Fisheries Report on KDLG. Stay with me.
Bristol Bay Fisheries Report is made possible in part by Naknek Family Fisheries, 246-FISH, or on the web at naknekfish.com.
The wait is over for fishermen wanting to get in on the action in the Naknek Quidjack section. As of today, fishermen can transfer into that district and the Igigik without a wait because the rivers there have met the midpoints of their escapement goals. By regulation, fishermen can transfer between the four major districts without a wait as of July 17th. Until then, fishermen wanting to enter the Nushagak and Ugashik districts are still subject to the 48-hour wait. Togiak fishermen have to wait until July 27th to go elsewhere, and fishermen from the other districts must wait until then to fish Togiak. This morning I spoke with Naknek Quidjack Area Manager Travis Ellison. Now that the sockeye return is looking much better than it did a week ago, Ellison is offering plenty of fishing time to what will be nearly 1,000 permits fishing the district, many of whose buyers are on restrictions anyway.
Yeah, it's been coming in real strong for both the Naknek and Quidjack rivers.
Do you have a sense, is this later than usual for kind of these good numbers to hit, or do you have a sense of how this compares to years past?
Yeah, I mean, this is definitely one of the latest runs we've seen. You know, we've had 3 days in a row with over 100,000 up the Naknek, and we've been fishing two tides a day in either the Quidjack or the Naknek section. And so it's, good to see now. But yeah, it's definitely one of the latest runs we've seen, at least in recent years.
And looking at the last round of Port Muller genetics, do you think all of those fish have shown up yet, or do you think there are more on the way?
Oh, I think we're probably seeing right now what they were indexing on those last couple days out there at Port Muller.
Do you have a new estimate of what the total run's going to look like?
No, I don't. It's hard to say because right now we've, we're kind of seeing a peak here when we'd expect to see the tail. So that makes it hard to say. We haven't really seen it start tapering off yet, so... Because that, it's no way to really predict if it's going to keep going all the way through the weekend or start falling off in a day or two. There's just no way to know.
And then I saw that the 48-hour wait is waived now, that you've hit the midpoint of the escapement goal. Does that mean that any boats that were already waiting can start fishing immediately?
Yeah, that's correct. It's in regulation that when we reach the midpoint of the escapement goal for the Naknek River or the Igigik River as well, and the Quijack's in there too, then that 48-hour transfer notification period is waived. So we announced that at 9 o'clock this morning for the Naknek Quijack District. So anybody that was already waiting, if they still had 24 hours to wait, then they can fish on this next period starting at 11.
Do you know yet? Are there going to be a lot more boats fishing? All right. Thanks so much for your time.
Thanks, Molly. Have a good day.
Naknek Quidjack drifter Abe Williams on the Crimson Fury is among those pleased with the recent action.
Yeah, on the Quidjack, it's been pretty good, actually. It's steady, and we're seeing some fish come through like we anticipated, level 8, but we're starting to see them here.
Williams says he fishes for Trident, and today was limited to 35,000 pounds.
Oh, yes, we're on limit currently right now, and we've been on limit for a few days here. When the run shows up like this, I've got a short period of time, a small window to put in the numbers that you need to pay off.
Williams says he's seen the run show this late in the past, but it's not a common occurrence. Williams offers his own adjective to sum up 2015 so far. Confusing. Back in a moment. Ugashik and Igigik Area Manager Paul Solomon says that whatever is happening with the run, managers are focused on the day-to-day of it all.
In season, for a management biologist, the why is not really important. It's the what. And the why comes after the season. So when I said I don't know yesterday, it's not like I don't really care about it. I do, but right now is not the time for me to try to figure out why. It's all about the what, and the what is that we have fish.
Solomon says both of his districts have allocations between set netters and drifters, and the Igigik set netters are slightly ahead of drifters there.
In the Igigik, the drifters are supposed to have 86% of the catch, and the set net folks are supposed to have 14. At some point, it becomes difficult to try and make that up, and the set netters are actually more efficient this year than the drifters have been because they're using a little smaller mesh size. So therefore, they're my most efficient group in terms of trying to stop fish. And their allocation's actually been going up a little bit in the past couple of days because the drifters are leaving. There's not as many of them around to catch. So I'm not going to try and balance that right now. I think it's 82-18 the last time I checked. In Ugashik, it's supposed to be 90-10, and that's exactly where it is right now. Pretty happy with how that's working out all over.
Solomon says catches in both districts are declining.
So Ugashik yesterday was 291 and Igik was 298. That's a little bit of a drop-off and kind of anticipating it to continue to go downhill from there.
Stay with me. Here on the Bristol Bay Fisheries Report, we've had an occasional series on where salmon goes after it's caught in Bristol Bay. New York-based Grow and Behold ships Kashrut or Kosher meat to customers around the country. Now they're offering customers a choice of Bristol Bay sockeye as well. Customer service representative Naomi Heisler says the company announced that it was selling sockeye in an email recently.
We introduced it in an email about a week and a half ago, and a lot of people are intrigued by it. It also lines up, there's a period of 3 weeks during the summer where some Jewish people choose to abstain or limit their meat intake. So they've been really appreciative of having forced to find sustainably produced salmon since they can't order the meat that we normally sell.
Heisler says the company had sold salmon previously, but not recently. Grow and Behold worked with an entity called Sea to Table to connect with the Bristol Bay fishermen. Salmon is already Kashrut, so the fishermen don't have to do anything beyond the regular practices intended to preserve quality, she says.
We are not doing any smoke to process. All of the fish that we sell are blast frozen right at the dock.
With less than a month of sales so far, Heisler says demand for the fish has been good.
We sell all over. So we mostly sell on the East Coast, but we've got plenty of buying clubs out on the West Coast. We even actually have a few customers in Alaska as well.
In other fisheries news, Fish and Game says the Yukon King Salmon Run looks like it will come in near the lower end of the preseason outlook, which called for a return of 118,000 to 140,000 fish. According to a July 13th update from Fish and Game, passage at the Pilot Point sonar on the lower river was about 114,000 fish as of July 12th. And the Peninsula Clarion reports that Fish and Game has lowered limits for Russian River sockeye on the Kenai Peninsula. The river has met the lower end of the early run escapement goal, but the count resets for the late run July 15th. And while there have been quite a few citations issued by wildlife troopers so far this summer, and we expect to see more when they start filing more paperwork, one arraignment caught our eye today more than the others. Kevin Harless skippers the fishing vessel Good Deal out of Togiak. Last year, he was among the permit holders and operators on six vessels charged with illegally fishing outside of the Kulukuk section. That illegal effort was detected in part by outsized fish ticket and a crafty wildlife trooper named Brett Gibbons. The effort may also have taken a substantial toll on Togiak escapement and hurt the seasons of the legal fishermen who lost fishing time on account of it. Well, wildlife troopers say he was at it again this year, fishing about 1 nautical mile south of the Togiak River section, which were not opened by emergency order on July 2nd. Harless was in Dillingham Court for his arraignment today. His vessel has been impounded by brown shirt troopers. And finally tonight, we liked an email we received from Angela in Oregon, who describes herself as a new listener of this show. She writes, "Hello, I started listening since the man I am in love with is out there on Bristol Bay fishing this 2015 season, and I'm really fascinated and I miss him terribly. I like your report. It is really interesting. However, do you have any tips on dealing with the situation I am in? Maybe just a few you could provide at the end of your broadcast? I live in Oregon. It is very difficult not to be able to communicate with him. Perhaps I am not the only woman in the lower 48 or elsewhere that has a tough time when Bristol Bay sockeye season is open. I mean, there has to be a female perspective on this. Respectfully, a new listener, Angela." Well, Angela, we thank you for your email. Unfortunately, I do not have good advice to offer you here tonight. But maybe some of our other listeners do. If you have advice for Angela or feedback, thoughts, ideas for us, please send them to fish@kdlg.org. I'm Molly Dishner. Dave Benninger produces the show. Good night, good luck out there in fishing or romance or whatever's keeping you busy this Bristol Bay summer. See you tomorrow.
Oh, pretty girl, you've let me down, you've broken my poor heart. And oh, how it hurt when you had to spurt that last sad remark. I said, I think I'll have a drink, and I broke out 6 months' pay. With a wide open eye, she breathed a sigh, this time she had to say. Now she said, oh, sailor, I think you've won my heart. Well, she was right neat, and she sure was sweet, but I knew she was that sort. She's not all to blame, cause it's a sailor's aim to have a girl in every port.
The Bristol Bay Fisheries Report was made possible in part by AIFMA, the Alaska Independent Fishermen's Marketing Association, representing fishermen since 1966. More information at AIFMA.org.